Hey guys, it's Felicia. I am still somewhere in the world, vacationing, luxuriating, you know, just living my best life right now, trying to get my life together, y'all. And while I take this much needed respite, I have something fabulous for you. You don't want to miss this. Attorney Anitra is back with legal therapy. Attorney Anitra,
take it away.
Welcome. This is session 7 of Clarify You Before You Qualify Them. This is Attorney Anitra, and I've been walking you through the acronym of Clarify. C-L-A-R-I-F-Y. And what I truly believe is that if you embrace this process, you'll begin to unearth a layer of understanding about yourself that can then better inform your choices of who you connect with later. I believe that because it happened to me. I didn't even know that I didn't know myself. You know what I mean? It gets confusing because if you're anything like me, you have the accomplishments that you can cite. The degrees are on the wall. The awards are numerous. People can point to you and say, she did this. But yet there's something missing in all of that. And it's confusing because on one hand you have success, but on the other hand, dare I say, you lack fulfillment. And that's not what they preach when it comes to attaining all of these degrees. We were supposed to be the elite of society by going through this process. But what really happened, if I'm honest, is we chose a safe route. And we're disappointed when we get to the end and realize that there are dangers just the same. That there are no guarantees that just because we have advanced degrees that we're going to be welcomed into organizations and getting a fair chance to work. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen. In fact, what we actually find is that we are facing even more and more obstacles because now we don't fully belong in that world. But then when we turn around and try to go home, we don't fully belong there either. And so right now in our society, there's a lot of talk about manifestation and vision boards. And a lot of us try these things and we just, I don't know, something's still falling flat. Even if you do get the fancy car that you cut out and paste it on the poster board, there's something else that's missing. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because if there's nothing else that I know in my life, I know I can manifest something. I believe that. It's happened to me time and time again. And the only reason why I stopped being able to manifest things for a season is because of a crucial decision that I made that blocked some manifestation. We're going to talk about that. So, very quickly, I want to review with you first, clarify. At the very first session, we talked about the purpose of clarify. That so you can qualify them later. And then we jumped right into the sea of clarify, which is context. I shared with you my personal story, my personal triggers, how I was born into this big family that eventually was broken up because of my parents' divorce. And I became the child who could pacify everyone. I was the one who could communicate to people through their anger and to still get things done at home. And I learned at a very young age that I could have a place in the world if I manage the chaos. Now, later on in my life, I can still use this gift. I remember my siblings calling me even when I moved off to college to help me negotiate to get them things with my mother. I now use that same skill set with my clients. I'm able to manage their chaotic work situations and to bring some solutions and bring peace to my clients. But when it was an unhealthy habit, I only defined my value by how well I was able to manage chaos. And if I could find a chaotic situation, it must mean that I'm important. That was unhealthy. Those were my triggers. That was my context. Knowing that I can make better choices about boundaries, about where my value truly lies, and just wanting something better for myself. Next, we talk about legacy. If context digs up our past, then legacy looks to the future. It proposes a sobering question to us, doesn't it? What do you want to leave behind? I watched a video of a radio show host asking a group of young Black women if they were going to have children, and if not, what they were going to do. And nearly all of them said that they were not going to have children. They weren't focused on that, and that their careers would be their baby. Travel would be what they truly wanted to do. And the guy just goes off on him talking about how their ancestors worked so hard, and now they're just not being fair to their bloodline. And it was harsh, and I guess it was meant to be funny. But real talk, okay, if we set children aside, because not everybody is going to procreate, but I do think a fair question to ask is, what do you want to leave behind? What do you want to leave behind? What is the value system? What's the standard? What's the change in our society you want to leave behind? That could be through your bloodline or through another mechanism. But I think it's healthy for us to realize that we are just a part of a much bigger system, and that there's something that we can do to leave this place a little better than how we found it. Next, we talk about asset. And this was important because after we talk about our past and our future, it's so easy to define ourselves by what we do for other people. I pointed you back to, when are you your best self? And not in accomplishing things, not in doing things for other people, but when are you in your state of flow? When do you feel the most connected to the earth, most connected to your purpose? And the scary part about that question is that it doesn't always look like what we do in our careers. Some of us have had the courage since this series started to launch out and do comedy, go after our ultimate dreams. I've tapped into my creativity. I realize that I'm most in flow when I cut my hair off and I'm not worried about the way that I look. I just got my little funky thing. I'm just myself. And I use my mind to come up with really strange connections that people don't see, but I allow myself that time to do it. That's when I become an asset to those in my life and to our world, honestly. Next, we talk about R, rest. When we take a moment to stop the activity so we can breathe, so we can fill our bodies, so we can be mindful of the state that we're in, because a lot of times we're so wound up and we don't even realize it. And then we talked about being free of anxiety. And just like the little girl with the bottle fighting monsters, we talked about how we could have our resource that we know that we can cope with whatever threat is rearing its ugly head at us. That's one of the main things I do for my clients. All of a sudden, they have backup. All of a sudden, this impossible situation, now we talk about it in a way that seems really simple to solve. And we just have to stop and we have to analyze the situations that we're in, and we can say, there's a way for me to cope with this. I don't have to be burdened by this. Then we talked about the I in clarify. We talked about how we have an impact. And there's the impact that we want to have, but then there's also the impact that we actually have, right? Even though I grew up the middle of five kids, and I often thought of myself as only having value if I was resolving chaos, the flip side of that is when I wasn't doing that, I felt like I was invisible. There's a lot going on at home, and it was very easy to look over me, you know. But that was in my family, and we're all kind of giants. In reality, I'm 6 feet tall. In reality, people tell me that when I walk into a room, people just kind of stop and look, and I have this presence about myself. I think I'm invisible. I like kind of go from one corner to the next and I'm reserved and quiet until I'm engaged in a conversation and feel like I'm helping someone. But yeah, there's the impact that I think that I have, then there's the impact that I actually have. I remember being at a networking event after I must have just graduated law school or was about to graduate law school. And one of my classmates, this very quiet Caucasian female, we were talking in a little circle with other classmates. And she just made this comment like, yeah, I actually find you quite intimidating. I was like, what? Are you serious? And she was like, yeah, actually, you're doing a thing right now. And I find it really intimidating. It's not mean. It's just, I don't know. There's just something about you that's just so... And now it's just kind of encourages. I kind of, you know, took a couple of steps back. Am I like too close to her? Wow. I realized that I carry power wherever I go, whether it's my stature, whether it's the way that I approach solving problems, or I begin to speak with authority when I do speak up. Whatever it is, I've had people tell me we stop and we listen. And that's important to know, because when you go to work and you think you're being quiet, when you think you're being compliant, there are other vibes that people are getting from you. And it's not necessarily an indictment that you're doing anything wrong. If you're the kind of person who steps into the room and people just bow down to your leadership and they don't want to, that's going to create some internal struggle for them. But we have to know that that's the power that we hold, so then we can be better informed about where we decide to show up and contribute. Then we talked about the F, frame. We took all of that digging, all of that, the realization of who we actually are, who we are actually showing up as, and we decided to actually put it in a framing, a constitution. We decided to make some decisions about who we are going to be moving forward. A lot of the times we're making decisions without doing the work of figuring out who we are. And our constitutions don't actually reflect a reality that we can live. We are trying to be people that we're not. But it's okay for you to decide that who you are right now and who you want to be, there might be some distance between that. So you're going to create some standards to get you there.
Hey guys, I have to tell you, I just finished watching Attorney Anitra's masterclass. And when I tell you, I'm mad that I didn't know this stuff years ago, like game changer. Like we're talking about how to document. We're talking about how the process of thinking through how to fight for your rights in the workplace. When I tell you, she breaks this down so well and gives you the framework and then tells you what you need to do to protect yourself and get your coins. When I tell you, for me, this is a game changer. And I am definitely going to be incorporating these principles and practices into how I coach people, especially people who are in a sticky situation. I mean, we're talking pips. We're talking can't get promoted. And this new term, quiet firing. Oh my God, how many of y'all know people who are being actively pushed out of their organizations, but on the low low? So like, they're taking projects away from you. They're, you know, murmurs about you. Like, people stop talking to you. They stop responding to your emails. When I tell you Attorney Anitra has the plan and the blueprint, this is it. So if you have not signed up for this masterclass, what are you waiting for? Like, get in there, get this knowledge, and then get your best possible outcome at work, which means get your money, okay? And don't let work work you. You work work. So boss up, get this information. The link to the masterclass is in the bio. It is worth every investment and time. And it's not long. It's short information, but it's to the point. And I'm telling you, do not wait. Go sign up for this masterclass. Take this masterclass right now. The link is in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the show.
And that brings us to the why, to yearnings. You know, a yearning isn't just a want. It isn't just a desire. Desire is such a great word. But yearnings, it's like you have to yearn just to say yearnings. It's a desire so deep that there is a sense of sadness attached to it. Why? Because it means something so important to you that the thought of being rejected from that, being denied it, it could be soul crushing. And if we're honest, a lot of the things that we have attained and obtained have not been yearnings, haven't been things that we wanted so badly that there's sadness attached to it. They've been safe choices. They've been impressive choices. But they haven't been the type of choice, the type of desires that reach down to our very souls. When I got married the first time, I married somebody who I felt was a solid choice. The choice didn't go all the way down to the depths of my soul. But I married who I felt was my best friend. We made sense on paper. We could build a very great life together. We had shared ideals about philanthropy. So I felt like we were going in a great direction. But what began to become apparent was that what I deeply wanted out of life, this person did not want the same things. And as my desires became more articulated, and as I began to become the woman who could walk into that, there was just a lack of compatibility, and it created friction, to say the least. Now, we were young, and this isn't meant to dog that person out. I own my decisions 100%. And that's another reason why I'm doing this series, because a lot of my clients have been stuck in this decision-making process that doesn't fully take into account who they are as people. And we have to stop that, because you'll start to notice this pattern that the people that you are now subject to at work are actually kind of similar to the people you have in your personal life. You realize that you have become a codependent in some unhealthy relationship patterns. And I want to break that. Only way to truly break that is by clarifying who you are. When I left my marriage, I was so heartbroken. And if I'm honest, I was less heartbroken about him and more heartbroken about me. Years of difficulty will do that to you, right? But what I was so disappointed in myself about was that I could not control everything and I could not fix everything. This was a wake-up call that I did not control everything around me. Even though my life had been peacefully put together and I had tried to control every aspect of it. Now, in my 30s and going through a divorce, I realize, I don't control as much about life as I thought I did. And this is really when my Clarify process really kicked it up a notch. I didn't have the acronym, but I started to go through all of these phases. And what I began to do was I began to really focus on and write out those yearnings, those desires that I wanted so badly. I was sad. I was heartbroken that I didn't have my own family. I was heartbroken that I didn't have children. I was heartbroken that I had chosen somebody who didn't truly share my values when we got down to the nitty-gritty of it all. How did I miss that? And I would love to tell you, but if you've been listening, you know that wasn't true, that this process didn't take a few months. It didn't take a year. It didn't take 2 years. It would take 5 years. So by the time I had even stopped dating completely until I was legally married, and then when I was open, the pandemic happened. I was like, freaking great. Now I'm in my house. I'm like literally cut off from humanity. It sucks. Am I wasting the very best years of my life? All the clocks are ticking. The actual clock, the biological clock, all the clocks. And I'm in the house just listening to clocks. But I didn't stop working through who I was becoming. I still found ways to be who I wanted to be. Even in this really agonizing place, in the pandemic, cut off from everybody, feeling like this is when I should be mingling, I had to hold on. I had to hold on to what I really believed was going to happen for me. I believed that I was going to be a biological mother. So there was one close family friend who lived nearby, and I just poured into her family. I poured into her children. That was my little extended bubble. I didn't want to lose touch with children because I knew I was going to be a mother. I never lost hope on that. I also thought about me being a teacher. That was really big on my heart. That was a core value, that me and my future husband, we were going to be people who were wise and people were going to come to us for advice and encouragement and direction. Because here's the thing that we miss when we do our vision boards. We often build our vision boards based on inspiration, which are these flashes of a brilliant idea or a creative idea. And that's amazing. I love inspiration. But the reason why we don't see manifestation is because our vision boards have not become aspirations. An aspiration is when you direct your ambition and your hope towards accomplishing something. A great example of this is this movie, Senior Year with Rebel Wilson. It came out this year, 2022. And the movie is stupid, but it's hilarious. But it has such a great example of the power of vision boards done right. So this young girl, she wants to become popular. So she creates this big old vision board and puts it on her wall. But what you see her do is you see her standing in front of it. You see her talking to herself. And then you see her putting in the work. If she's going to be head cheerleader, she's got to take the classes. She's got to do the practice. And you just see her accomplish this very goal and get to the very top. You see it happen. That's how vision boards are supposed to work. We're supposed to see ourselves in it. The images are literally supposed to trigger a process inside of our mind when we see ourselves driving that car, living in that house, being with that man, being with those children. And I'm not saying to be creepy and to create like an altar for a person. I'm not telling you to cut out a bunch of pictures of, you know, one specific guy per se. Do you? But I'm just letting you know, I'm not telling you to do it. What I am telling you to do is to see yourself in the role that you want. And that's what I did, even though it was taking years. And that's what the beauty of Clarify is, because it preps your life in a way that it's going to put all of your defeat and your depression in a battle to the death with your hope and your faith. And it's not until you get to that crossroad. It's not until you have to make a life or death decision about which way you're going to go that you really tap into your yearnings. Because here it is. Risk plus your emotions, your deep desires, your deepest emotions, that equals vulnerability. And a lot of us are not willing to be vulnerable enough to admit what we really want out of life because we don't want to be disappointed. But if you don't admit what you really want to be out of life, you don't give yourself an opportunity to see yourself living that life. If you don't see yourself living that life, you will not take the actions to prepare for that life. So there were times when it was just, like I shared with you, just some of the darkest times where I was just like, why am I even here? There was that battle. And I chose to hold on to a glimmer of hope. I remember in that season, a young girl reaching out to me and asking if I'd be on a podcast. And since I saw myself being this beacon of wisdom on my own and with my future partner, I said yes. And we talked about George Floyd. This was early in the pandemic, him dying, him being murdered, and what that meant, especially for young activists who also identified with the Christian faith. And I remember just showing up, even though it was difficult. She said she got great feedback. Oh, there's even somebody, you know, asking if you're married. And I thought that was cute. And I was dating somebody at the time, even though it was in a pandemic and I'm cut off from everybody. And I was like, okay, thank you. And then I told you guys the story about that relationship not working out and me really, really being depressed and working through a very difficult time. Well, a year later, the same young girl reaches out to me and wants me to be on the podcast again. And this time she wants to talk about relationships because there was this dating guru guy who turned out to be like cheating on his wife and she wanted to talk about him. I didn't really want to talk about him. But again, even now, I'm now like officially trying to like hold on for dear life. I still have my vision of who I'm going to be. And so I say yes, because I believe in my legacy of leaving wisdom here after I'm gone. I've clarified myself. So I go and I get on this podcast in the same white chair that I've been in for years at this point. Like, don't go outside because it's a pandemic. And, you know, right before, you know, we're set to do this, she lets me know, like, oh, this time I've actually invited two brothers. They've also been divorced before. They're also Christian men. I just think it would add a lot to the discussion. Okay, I don't care. So I get my little statement prepared. I do my little lawyer thing. I just get ready. The brothers come on. I say hi. I'm still minding my business. She lets me talk first and, you know, I give my little spiel. But then they start talking and I just remember stopping like, man, these brothers are wise. They just dropping gems left and right. And I could tell one of the brothers, he was a little younger than the other one, but we seemed to be all around like the same age. And, you know, I love their relationship. They were just, I could tell they supported each other. You know, you could just tell, you know, when people just have a really positive relationship. But then the older brother started speaking and I was like, okay, King Solomon, I mean, you dropping this knowledge over here. And I couldn't believe it. His language just sounded so familiar. It's like I talk and I write about these things. And we just had such a great conversation. I didn't want it to end. Because remember, I'm holding on to this vision in my mind of what life could possibly be like. And it's a lonely journey at times. So it's exciting when, you know, hey, people might have a similar vision. And so I actually reached out to them to see if I could interview them for a book I was writing about relationships. And honestly, I just wanted a little bit of encouragement to keep going. Like here I was seemingly choosing to be alone when there were people out there who were open to being with me. They just didn't share my values and my vision. And I'm like holding on to this vision. I just wanted to know that I wasn't crazy. And so they agreed and we meet online on Zoom in my same little white chair a week later. And the older brother had a chance to come on first. And so we had like a 10-minute conversation and it was so natural and so fun. It was just like, man, this person is just like really cool. Then his brother came on and his brother was on fire that day. I mean, he was just going off. We had such a great time. I was asking him all these questions that I thought Christian women wanted to hear about. And I asked, you know, what attracts you to women? You know, we had the people on the podcast giving girls numbers and it was an interesting few years for women. And I think it really just rose to another level in a pandemic. And the older brother, he responded to me. He was like, just be you. He said, for example, I heard you on a podcast last year. And I said, who is this woman? Is she married? And I kind of laughed it off. But then I stopped dead in my tracks when I realized that this was the guy the girl told me about had been asking if I was married a year ago. A year ago. I think I fainted on the inside. And so I played it off and I just kind of got through the rest of the interview. But afterwards, I just couldn't believe what I just heard. This guy who I was like low-key feeling anyway had already been asking about me. When I was hanging on for dear life in a pandemic, heartbroken over this other guy who didn't want the same thing out of life, there was a guy out there who shared my worldview, our passions, my values, who was already asking about me. So I wait for him to reach out to me. I was like, if he so much as emails me once, it's a wrap. And sure enough, it might have been the The next day, or maybe 2 days later, he emails me asking for a copy of the interview. And I am not kidding. I did not do this on purpose. I tried to save it to my external drive and it disappeared. And so I had to tell him, like, I don't have it. I'm trying to recreate the notes. And finally, I just email him back. I'm like, I'm not able to recreate the notes because I just can't stop thinking about the fact that you and I need to talk some more. Now, that was my way of shooting my shot. You know what I mean? He says that was like not aggressive at all. But knowing me, he sees how that's aggressive because we did talk and we have not stopped talking. But now we have a family. And wow, I fell in love with this person. And as if that wasn't enough, when I finally met his children a few months after we started dating, I fell in love 2 times that day. In fact, me and his kids, we celebrate our family anniversary when we first all met. And we just bonded instantly. And that's how I manifested this life that I have now. I would love to tell you this process is easy. I would love to tell you that this process is quick, but it's not. But when it does click, when it does happen, you're fulfilled. You put it all out there on the line. And it happened because you had the courage to dig deep to the deepest parts of your heart and to figure out what it is that you truly want out of life. And I want that for you, for each and every one of you listening to this. I came back to practicing law with all of my heart because I realized that it wasn't the law that was my real contribution. That part is easy. I've been reading and putting together puzzles since I was little. That's what it all is. But the transformation of clarifying who you are, that's why I'm in this work. To see my clients transform from people who were so scared to stand up for themselves, to being people who will stand up to anybody and now even have the courage to stand up for others, that's why I show up. To see people who were in toxic workplace environments and also know when they were struggling in their personal relationships, for them to reimagine their value system and to be empowered both at work and at home. Oh, we're talking about impacting generations. We're talking about strengthening families and communities. We're talking about calling out disrespect. We're talking about calling out abuse. And we're talking about completely transforming the way we live our lives just because we have the courage to stop and to clarify who we are. So, clarify you. Context. Legacy. Asset. Rest. Impact. Frame. And yearnings. You're worth it. And there is a whole world out there waiting for the real you to show up. So clarify you before you qualify them. And I'm willing to bet there is a life of fulfillment waiting for you on the other end. Thank you so much for listening. If you want an opportunity to talk about this and hear real clarify processes and hot seats, if you want to be in a group situation, come talk to me. On October 6th, we're going to be having a conversation, a clarify conference. It's free. Invite your friends. I just want to talk to you. I just want to touch hearts that day. Let's share and talk about how we are going to take the first step before we start qualifying other people, how we are going to clarify ourselves. The information is going to be available. Just look below. You'll see the link. And we're going to be putting this on social media for you. But we are so excited for you to join us for this live conversation. And in fact, I'm going to have a special guest doing this in conjunction with Trill MBA, Felicia and Rose and Nuha. We're going to be talking about this. So I am excited to see you. In the meantime, be well. Bye.